In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello out there. I'm Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're continuing in the message called Expected Conduct in God's House. And it's certainly a pertinent message for today, because if you move around the body of Christ and in the various churches and assemblies, you find out that people are acting in all different kinds of ways. But there is a decorum for the house of God. There is an expected behavior that God has for us. And it's not being stiff, but it is being reverent.
The Greek women that were considered respectable lived in seclusion. They never went out alone. As a matter of fact, they never even shared meals with the men in their lives. An Athenian mother was to live in such a retired life that her name was never mentioned among men for either praise or blame. I mean, that's how warped they were. However, thank God Christianity came along and emancipated women. What did they emancipate them from? From slavery, because they were in a form of slavery. But there were concerns that this newfound liberty could be misused. The respectable world wasn't quite ready and could have been shocked at the emancipated woman, and so the church had to establish some regulations, and that's how all of this got started. Today, thank God we don't have that, but you have to remember they were coming from three different cultures into the church, and something had to be established in order for the whole system not to go haywire, okay? And when Pastor Clinton finishes, I want to read a letter that we received just a couple of days ago. It's a small epistle, but I want to read all of it because it's important so that you understand why you're attending these pastoral epistle classes, if you will.
I'm just going to walk, you know, briefly through the rest of the verses in this chapter. Verse 13 says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus," which is a little, as Brother Hagin says, a little blind to us. But what it means is those who use the office of deacon well acquire for themselves an excellent standing, mm-hmm, and an assurance in their faith in Christ. Now, the New Testament does not define the exact nature of the duties of the office of deacon, but the meaning of the word suggests service. So knowing that the Holy Ghost, God, by His Spirit, knowing that many cultures of the world would be involved and differing lifestyles were going to be involved in the practice of Christianity, the Holy Spirit left the specific duties to those who were designated as leaders in these various assemblies. So you need not think that you can go to the Bible and delineate every single thing that a deacon is supposed to do, because service may require something here, and service may require something else in South America, and service may require something else in Africa, and something else in India. We don't know. I haven't been those places, but I do know there are differences in cultures which still fall under the parameters of service to that particular local body. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So the leaders determine what should be. And there's a purpose for us going through these pastoral epistles, and we're going to get to it real quick. But the dominant idea among New Testament leaders was that ministry belonged to the whole Christian community. But the ordination of leaders was to set apart those who had proven maturity and had proven character to lead so that the whole church could function effectively in worship and service and outreach and the fulfillment of individual spiritual gifts. It is important for the leadership to be able to recognize that in the congregation there are individual spiritual gifts. Because Jesus said, it is said of Jesus when he rose from the dead, that he set in the body apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In the local church, the pastor is the logical person to do the teaching because he's the one with the captive audience on a week-to-week basis. But in that very congregation, there may be apostles and prophets, as we find in the book of Acts, where it said at the church in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work wherewith I have called them. What work was that? It doesn't say right there, but you read the succeeding chapters, you find out they went out and became apostles. So the Holy Ghost separated them to be apostles. What does it mean when it says the Holy Ghost separated? In a meeting just like that, somebody stood up and under the aegis of the Holy Spirit, speaking under the anointing of the Spirit, this person said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work wherewith I have called them. Obviously, he wasn't speaking about himself. So it was the Holy Spirit speaking about what he wanted to do with these people. All right? Now, I'll just go through the rest of the... He said, these things write I, verse 14, to you, hoping to come to you shortly. He says, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Oh. Now, I want to jump over there real quick. I'll just have to skip over something here. But Paul, by the Spirit, emphasizes that the job of supporting and transmitting the truth, supporting and transmitting the truth is the job of the church and all of its supporting parts to its particular generation. So the church is the agency that supports and transmits the truth to its generation. You follow me? And then in that concluding verse, it sounds like he's going off and talking about something else, and he's still talking about the truth. He says, and without controversy or without argument, great is the mystery of godliness. Do you know that godliness is a mystery to the world? Do you know that?
Absolutely.
Godliness is a complete mystery to the world. But Paul, for our sakes, goes on and delineates the content, what is contained in truth. He says the mystery is that God was made manifest or evident in the flesh. You preach on that all day long, that God became flesh, couldn't you? He says he was seen of angels. Well, I'm sure among the many times he was seen of angels, we are certain that we know one or two times that he was seen of angels, you know, that's recorded in the scriptures. One of them is in the Garden of Gethsemane when he went and prayed three times, and it says after he was finished that the angels ministered to him. They sure saw him, didn't they? Mm-hmm. All right. He preached to the Gentiles. Said he came to his own, but his own received him not, but as many as received him gave he them the power or authority to become the sons of God. Mm-hmm. And who was it? The little woman up in Zidon or somewhere? Where was she? Where he talked about the crumbs under the table? Where was that? When she desired of him, and he said he was only sent to the Syrophoenician woman. Mm-hmm. He said he was only sent to the Jews, you know. But she kept on persisting, and she said to him, "If I could just have the crumbs that fall from the table." She was a Gentile, and he ministered to her. All right. Now, it also says he was believed on in the world. Of course, we know that. That's pretty obvious. And it says he was received up into glory. Now, somebody suggested that the rhythm of these lines suggests that this may have been an early hymn of the church. They may have actually sung this because of the rhythm in which it is presented. But in any case, whether or not it was a hymn or not, we know this is the content of the truth. This embodies the truth that we were both to carry to our generation, to transmit to our generation, to support in our generation. All right? It is important to note that New Testament leadership does not emphasize family line or some rite, R-I-T-E, as the Old Testament did with the priesthood. So when people nowadays pass their ministry down to their sons or daughters, I want you to know that God may or may not anoint those people for ministry. Don't think automatically because
you know them by their fruit.
Don't think automatically because somebody has the name of a great minister of the gospel that they automatically take on his mantle. I mean, Elisha was given Elijah's mantle, but I see nowhere in the New Testament where anybody's given anybody their mantle. You understand? The reason I say this is because New Testament believers get suckered into stuff so easy just because some smooth-talking somebody that is very charismatic and, you know, powerful of appearance and speech makes them think it's right.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.